The lens in which many Americans view abortion has widened since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Abortion opponents often characterize it as birth control, but we've been hearing from a lot of women who've learned it's often the procedure needed when a wanted pregnancy fails. You may have heard Arizona State Senator Eva Birch's emotional words on the state Senate floor.
A few weeks ago, I learned that, against all odds, I am pregnant. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but after numerous ultrasounds and blood draws, we have determined that my pregnancy is once again not progressing and is not viable. And once again, I have scheduled an appointment to terminate my pregnancy.
Her announcement, including mention of a prior abortion as well. Now, current law in Arizona allows abortions before 15 weeks, but the state Supreme Court is considering an 1864 law that would criminalize nearly all abortions, and at least 14 states now ban most abortions at any stage, which is among the reasons that Birch, a mother of two and a nurse practitioner, shared her personal story and joins us now. Senator, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, and since you spoke on the floor, you have had the procedure. You know, you're one of the women cluing a lot of Americans in on the sadness of abortion, even if it's medically and otherwise often the best thing. So how are you feeling, and was it tough?
I'm doing really well. I was treated with so much respect and dignity, and I was the only legislator in the room. So it was a pretty safe and comfortable experience for me because of that.
Yeah, well, and because you have a largely Republican legislature there in Arizona, considering some changes. But before we move on to that, you were also subjected to some things that are mandated by state law. What did you have to go through to get this procedure that you needed because your pregnancy had failed?
Arizona law requires that patients come and have a counseling session prior to their procedure, and then they have to wait at least 24 hours before they can come back. The provider has to say things to the patient, such as recommending that abortion can be replaced with parenting, or another alternative could be adoption, which in the case of someone like me who is seeking abortion care because my pregnancy is failing is really cruel, not only to the patient, but also to the provider. To have this conversation with the patient knowing that it's not true, that it's not an accurate representation of what that patient's options are. They also have to talk about what the probable fetal anatomical properties will be at the time of the abortion, which in my case, again, was not true because my embryo was dying and therefore not subject to the probabilities of a normal, healthy, progressing pregnancy. So, you know, these laws are intended really to coerce and frighten and bully patients, but it has an effect that could be totally different from that based on the situation of the individual patient.
Well, you know, there are people who even support abortion rights who feel maybe there could be a little bit of just getting to talk to somebody, you know, these gray areas that never get addressed by these cut and dry, no wiggle room laws that you're talking about. You even had to take an ultrasound knowing that you already had a failed pregnancy.
I did. I had to be subject to a transvaginal ultrasound, which is the requirement. And I had already had two ultrasounds, I believe, at that point in time. And I had already provided those reports. And I don't think that the intent is anything other than to make the experience uncomfortable for the patient and to create a hostile environment in the abortion center.
Yeah. Well, and you, as you mentioned, had another abortion with an unviable pregnancy. By the way, we should say you have given birth to two healthy boys. Wonderful. But as you mentioned, but you had another abortion with an unviable pregnancy. In 2022, you were told you couldn't have an abortion, which was medically needed because your pregnancy had failed, because your life wasn't in danger.
The day before I was supposed to have my abortion 2 years ago, I started to miscarry. And there's a certain threshold of how much is somebody bleeding that's safe. And I had passed that threshold and felt a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit scared, to be honest. And so we went to the emergency department, but my miscarriage stalled and I stopped bleeding completely. We did an ultrasound and the embryo was still there. So I was hopeful that I would be able to have a procedure because there was no longer any cardiac activity. It looked as though the embryo had died. But they told me that I was not going to be able to have a procedure there that day and that I should probably keep my appointment at the abortion clinic the next day, or that they could give me some medication that would make me start bleeding again. And if I bled enough, then they could give me a procedure. Mm-hmm. It's really putting patients in sort of an impossible mm-hmm. situation. And I went home hoping that nothing bad would happen between the time I left the ER and the time I got to the mm-hmm. abortion clinic. But this was now a more serious complication where I had retained products of conception. And, you know, the laws that we set can serve to intimidate doctors and to muddy the waters when they're trying to make decisions in the hospital setting as well. So it really is setting a bad precedent across the board.
Well, I started off by saying what it feels like to us, which is that this lens in which we're looking at this is widening. Women across the country, many thought they were completely against abortion rights, many very conservative, finding, just like you, they were in a medical situation where they needed the procedure, and in states that are banning abortions, couldn't get it. And we have quotes from these women saying things like, "I never thought this would apply to me." Are you watching this happen?
I'm absolutely watching it happen. It is one of the primary reasons that I decided to go public with my story, because we have to change the conversation about the abortion patient. I think that when patients are not sharing their experiences, it allows the wrong people to write the story and to tell us who we are. It's absolutely awful. I think that these individuals are having to share their most private and frightening stories publicly just in order to be heard and to have a seat at the table in the conversation. But if those stories aren't being heard, it's not an honest or accurate representation of what abortion care looks like in this country.
In Arizona right now, the Supreme Court is considering that 1864 law, as we said, 150 years ago, which would criminalize almost all abortions. And we know you and others are promoting a ballot measure for voters to vote on in November. Essentially, it would be a constitutional amendment that would make the right to an abortion up until 24 weeks a constitutional right. You have these competing things going on. Is that also part of why you got up on the floor?
Yeah, it's really difficult for me to even comprehend why we're having a conversation about a ban that was put in place before Arizona was even a state, and that we would be considering that when we have so much data and so much has changed in the field of medicine and just in general, that we should not be litigating this ridiculous, outdated ban on abortion. We should be having a more serious conversation. And I do think that conversation directly relates to this ballot initiative. We can really see that people are ready for this. They're going to far exceed what they need in order to get this on the ballot. I'm confident of that. And I do think that it's going to be a driving factor in getting people to come to the polls in November. And I am confident that it's going to move the needle for us here in Arizona.
Well, you might have moved some unexpected needles. You said going into your statement on the floor, which we can hear the tremble in your voice. And you said, "I don't want to, you know, I don't have high expectations. I'll change people's minds who are passionately against abortion. I thought maybe we could just have a larger conversation." And our friends at KJZZ are reporting that Senator Ken Bennett, somebody who is, you know, lists Protect Unborn Life on his campaign website, said, you know, you have him thinking. What have you heard?
Yeah, I was really grateful. Senator Bennett actually came up to me after I was done speaking and just sort of expressed his condolences to me. I don't know that that's going to be the sentiment across the Republican caucus. But what I also think is that the landscape is changing in Arizona. And what we have right now are some very far right extremists who are in the leadership positions. But that's not an accurate representation of the entire Republican caucus in Arizona. And I do not think at all that it's an accurate representation of all of the Republican voters.
Are you getting support? I mean, how are you feeling having done this?
The response that I have had has knocked my socks off. It has been phenomenal. I have had letters and messages and people telling me their own stories, but mostly thanking me, mostly saying that they are so grateful to see the conversation moving in this direction. I've had so many people sharing their personal stories with me, people who would not at all feel comfortable ever sharing their story publicly, are just grateful to have a seat at the table now. They heard that story and they saw themselves. And it also makes me motivated. It makes me want to do more because we have so much good work that we can do. And I really do believe that we now have more people who are going to be ready and willing to do that work.
Arizona State Senator Eva Birch, thank you so much.
Thank you again.